So today is the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Alright. So we're going to be reading about the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Have any of you read the Seventh Goswami, the book, the Seventh Goswami, the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? A couple of people. Okay, so this is basically a summary of the booklet. Of the amazing personality that Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj was. Can you put up the first slide? So I'll just tell you when you change the slides, is that okay?
Yeah.
So the first slide, just blow it right up. This is a quote by Srila Prabhupada. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an ideal guru. He was not a sannyasi, he was a grihastha householder, living with family and wife, and still he was a guru. So this is the godfather, so to speak, of the revitalized Vaishnava tradition, Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it's interesting, actually, in the context of what we're learning at the moment in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of cruel King Vena, how his father was actually in the purports of saying how it's a fortunate person that actually has a sinful child, because you don't become attached to that child. But here Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually prayed for a saintly son, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was his son, the Ray of Vishnu. So he prayed to Krishna for actually a super, super good son. So we can also see that this was a great blessing to the whole of humanity. So this is a quote by Srila Prabhupada. Let's go to the next slide, please, Prabhu. So here we begin. Sri Satchitananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in 1838 in a wealthy family in the Nadia district in West Bengal. He revealed that he is an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his extraordinary preaching activities and prolific writing. Living as a Mahabhagavata Vaishnava, he stayed in the Grihastha ashram until the last few years of his life. He then renounced everything excepting Babaji initiation and entered Samadhi, totally absorbed in the loving service of Gauranga and Radha Madhava. He had a responsible government position as a district magistrate, a high court judge, maintained a Krishna conscious family, wrote almost 100 books on Krishna consciousness. At the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is his beautiful life. After a full day of government service, he slept 4 hours, getting up at midnight and writing until morning. This was his daily program. This was a quote from Srila Prabhupada. Next slide, please, Prabhu. So there's a quote. If one sincerely takes shelter of the holy name by chanting Hare Krishna, he will achieve spiritual perfection within the compass of his normal daily activities. So Srila Prabhupada, his dates are 1838 to 1914. Is a prominent preceptor acharya in a succession of spiritual masters and disciples coming from Lord Krishna. He was pioneering spiritual leader, a householder, a magistrate working in colonial India under the British rule. A prolific preacher, writer, poet, he wrote volumes of books reintroducing the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya at a time when those teachings had practically been lost. He composed hundreds of devotional songs glorifying Krishna to uplift the consciousness of the suffering people in the world. He corresponded with philosophers, theologians, leaders, scholars and professors of his time and sent books, including Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, to universities, libraries, into foreign countries, planting the seed for a worldwide movement of Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered and excavated the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Along with his devoted wife, Bhagavati Devi, he raised 10 children, including the illustrious Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had become a great spiritual leader of his own time and spiritual master of ISKCON's founder, Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Above all, Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught devotion to Krishna by his personal example. His life story, excerpts below, demonstrate a tremendous amount of courage, character and perseverance in the face of many difficulties, and gives hope to those who may be wondering just how to find time to serve Lord Krishna, his holy name, his devotees, in our very busy lives. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the example for us, for someone who had so much time dedicated to Krishna and could fit it in. Sometimes we complain, oh, we have two or three children, we've got to go to work, we've got so many things to do, we've got to pay the bills, there's not much time for Krishna, I can hardly chant my rounds. But here we have an example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that could do all these things and was such an example. In many ways, aspiring devotees of Krishna today owe a significant debt to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur for charting the course and laying the foundations for the modern-day Krishna consciousness movement. Once, he looked out of his window across the river towards the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a vision that people from all nations would soon come together there in harmony through the blissful chanting of the holy names of Krishna and perform kirtan. His great grand disciple, Srila Prabhupada, who humbly and fearlessly spread Krishna consciousness to far corners of the world, thought it significant that he was born in 1896. That was the year that the Thakur sent copies of the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya to universities across the oceans, including the National Gallery in Canberra. So at that time, in 1896, his book was also sent, which is still in the National Capital Library. Have you ever seen it, Pranav? No? So slide 4. Next slide, please, Pranav. So in 1500, the avatar of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement in Bengal, the movement based on the ancient Sanskrit texts of devotion to Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, spread all over India within a short time. It popularized Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, as the practical means for God realization and the panacea for the miseries of the age of materialism. In 1750, two centuries later, the influence of the Hare Krishna movement had waned. Sects of pseudo-devotees, such as the Hajjas and similar groups, had become prominent, professing love of Godhead by acting in base, immoral ways, and these groups brought disruption upon the pure movement begun by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next slide, please, Prabhu. So in 1838, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was named Kedarnath Datta by his parents, was born in opulence and opulent circumstances in Binagara or Ulagram in the district of Nadia, West Bengal. He was the seventh son of Raja Krishnanda Datta, a great scholar of Lord Nityananda, and he would be known as Daicha Kulera Prahlada. Prahlada is the family of non-devotees, because Vaishnavism in the worship of Vishnu or Krishna was not very much respected in his family. So he's actually born wealthy. This is one thing we've got to remember also about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was actually a wealthy man throughout his life because of his positions, the positions that he held. He had houses in various parts of India. In today's terminology, he would be considered a millionaire, quite wealthy. And so yet he was completely dedicated to Krishna. This is actually so good for us Grihasthas to know that we can utilize everything in Krishna's service. His childhood was spent at the mansion of his maternal grandfather in Birangara. His environment at this time was very opulent. He got his elementary education at primary school, started with his grandmother. Later he attended an English school in Krishnagara and started by the king of Nadia, and he left that school when his older brother died of cholera. In 1849, when he was 11 years old, his father passed away, and subsequently the grant of land that had been conferred upon his grandmother changed owners and the family fell into poverty. In 1850, when he was just 12, his mother arranged his future marriage to the five-year-old daughter of Madhusudana Mitra Mahashaya, a resident of Rangata, around the time of his uncle Krishpada Ghosh Mahasaya, who had mastered English under the British education, schooled young Kedarnath Dutt at his home in Calcutta. In 1856, At the age of 18, Kedarnath Dutta entered the College of Calcutta and he started writing extensively in English and Bengali, and he studied English literature, taught speech making to a person who later became a well-known orator in British Parliament. Between the years 1857 and 58, he composed two-part English epics entitled the Paradidya, which he planned to complete in 12 books. And these books describe the life of Purus. Purus was a man who met Alexander the Great. So it was a life story of him. Next slide, please, Prabhu. He was very taken by Christian theology, regarding it more interesting than the less offensive and less offensive than the Hindu monism, the Advaita Vedanta of Shankaracharya. He would spend hours comparing the writings of Canning, Theodore Parker, Emerson and Newton. At the British Indian Society, he gave lectures on the evolution of matter through the material mode of goodness. Dvijendranath Tagore was Kedarnath's best friend, and during these scholarly years, he assisted Kedarnath Dutta in his studies and Western religious literature. Affectionately, Kedarnath Dutta used to call Devarendranath Tagore Baru Dutta, or Big Brother. So actually, later on, it was mentioned that actually Bhaktivinoda Tagore was very much taken by the Salvation Army, which was just starting up in England at that time. And he very much appreciated that they were bringing out the holy name of the Lord to the streets, because has anybody seen the Salvation Army? They don't do it so much anymore, but they used to stand on the corners, street corners, and have a big brass band and chant hymns about God. And they don't do that anymore. But anyway, Bhaktivinoda Tagore was very impressed with that, that they brought the glories of God out to the public. So he was very impressed with the whole Christian setup like that. In 1858, Kedarnath Dutta returned to Birangara and found his native village ruined and deserted. A cholera epidemic had killed the inhabitants, including most of his relatives. He returned to Calcutta with two surviving members of the family, his mother and paternal grandmother. Acting on the last wishes of his grandfather, he undertook a pilgrimage and travelled to all the monasteries and temples in the state of Orissa. As a young householder, Bhaktivinoda Tagore began to consider the questions and meanings of his livelihood, and he was not interested in business, as he had seen how apparent necessary dishonesty was in the trade world and morally weakened the merchant class. So he could see that, you know, at that time, to be a merchant, you had to be deviant, you know. So we make no profit, but actually they make a lot of profit. So he didn't want to have any part of that. So he decided instead to become a school teacher, establishing a school for English education in the village of Kendrapara in Orissa. After some time, he went to Puri and passed a teacher's examination, and he got a teaching post in Cuttack School, and later became headmaster of the school in Bhadraka and then in Medininapura. And he dedicated his work, and he was noted by all the authorities at that stage of what a great principal he was of the school. So everything he did to the best of his abilities. Next slide, please, brother. So why was Srila Bhaktivinoda Tagore at one time an impersonalist? This was actually mentioned quite some time. And this is a quote from Srila Prabhupada. What you have heard is all right. Just like Arjuna is constant companion of Krishna, as it is confirmed, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that both Arjuna and he appeared many times in this world, but he had forgotten his past appearances and Krishna did not. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is just like darkness. When Krishna is present, there cannot be any darkness or Maya. So as Arjuna, although always in the presence of Krishna as an eternal companion in friendship, still he had some illusion in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna had to dissipate that darkness by teaching Bhagavad Gita. The purport is that sometimes a liberated person, like Arjuna, plays the part of a conditioned soul in order to play some important role. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur for some times was associated with the impersonalists. Actually, he had dealings with one of the teachers, one of the gurus of, everybody know Yogananda? Yogananda was also at that time, or his teachers were also at that time in Bengal and Calcutta. And there's one guru called Liri Mahasaya, and he had association with him as well. So he had association with the impersonalists. And then he exhibited himself in his true colours as a pure devotee, exactly in the same way as Arjuna exhibited in the beginning as a conditioned soul and then as a liberated soul. So there is nothing to be understood in this connection. Krishna and his devotees sometimes play like that, as much as Lord Buddha, although an incarnation of Krishna, preached the philosophy of voidism. These things are conducted in terms of place, audience and time, etc. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that the activities of a Vaishnava cannot be understood by the great scholars. So there is no doubt about it that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the eternal energy of the Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and whatever he did was just to suit the time, place and circumstance and etc. And this, there is no contradiction in his activities. So that was Srila Prabhupada, quote by Srila Prabhupada. Next slide, please, Prabhu. During his post as headmaster of the Madinapuri High School, Kedarnath Datta looked into various religious sects, their philosophies and practices. He could see that people in general were taking religion very cheaply and came to understand the unique importance of the Sankirtan movement, spreading love of God through chanting of his holy names, that had been established in Bengal by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unfortunately, at that time, his movement was not well represented, and Kedarnath Datta made an onslaught against those who were polluting Lord Chaitanya's teachings and who had, mostly because of their boldness, been seen by the public as representing the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage, followers of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in Bengal, formerly known as Gaudadesh. Next slide, please, Prabhu. During his post as headmaster of that high school, Kedarnath looked at various religious... So in 1861, Kedarnath Datta accepted the post of deputy magistrate in the government of Bengal. Later, after seeing the corruption of the government workers, he became a collectorate officer. He established an organization called the Brihati Samaj and wrote an English book called Our Wants, constructed a home in Rangata and composed two novels in Bengali, Vijayanagarama, The Deserted Village, and Sannyasi, which received praise from its reviewers. So that's when he really started to write. In 1866, Kedarnath took to the position of deputy registrar with the power of deputy collector and deputy magistrate in the district of Chapara. He became fluent in Persian and Urdu. He successfully settled disputes between tea farmers and helped secure public aid to build a school for teaching Nyaya Shastra, a sacred text that ascertained knowledge and truth through logic and argument, and he was transferred to Purninya, where he took charge of the government and judicial departments. So everywhere he went, because of how dedicated he was to his job and how well he did the job, he just got a further promotion, and he just kept going like that. In 1868, he became the deputy magistrate of Dinajapur in West Bengal, the highest rank in government that could be held by an Indian person during the British rule. So now he's right up there. At this time, somebody actually told me that later in life, the British actually built, you know how the British built their railways? They built the railway line to go past his house so that he could hop on the train very easily. Really? So the train station was right out the front of his house. That was a means of transport. So important was he that the British thought, I better make a station right out the front of his house so he can come to court very easily. We didn't have cars at that stage. So At this time, he was finally able to procure rare copies and sacred texts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the pastimes of Krishna and his associates, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He read the Chaitanya Charitamrita repeatedly. His faith increased until he was absorbed in the sacred text all day and night. He began incessantly submitting heartfelt prayers for the Lord's mercy. He came to understand the supreme majesty and power of the absolute personality of Godhead Sri Krishna and his incarnation in this age as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He published a song about Lord Chaitanya entitled Satchidananda Prema Lankara. In 1869, while serving as deputy magistrate under the government of Bengal, he delivered a speech in the form of a treatise he had written on the Srimad Bhagavatam to a large congregation of prominent men of letters from many parts of India and England. He was transferred to Kamparana, during which time his second son, Radhika Prasad, was born. In Kamparana, people used to worship a ghost, in a banyan tree. The ghost had the power to influence the mind of the locals and the local judge to decide in the favour of the worshipper. So Kedarnath Datta advised a local scholar to read the Srimad Bhagavatam under this tree day and night for 1 month. So there was this ghost that was influencing the judicial system, and he was manifesting himself in this tree. So Maharaj encouraged the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam under this tree for a month, 24 hours. The tree crashed to the ground and many people found renewed faith in the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, pretty powerful thing. You got any ghosts in your backyard or anything? Just read the Srimad Bhagavatam. It said if you keep a copy of the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam close to your head at night time, then you won't have bad dreams. This is the power of the Holy Scripture. From Kamparana, he moved to the holy city of Jagannath Puri, Orissa, which gladdened his heart to no end. In 1873, near the capital of Orissa, in the town of Kamanala, there lived a mystic named Bishakishena, who would lean into fire and then return to an erect sitting posture. So there was a fire and he would lean into the fire like that, and then return to his posture. In this way, he rocked back and forth in and over the flame. By his acquired mystic powers, he could also produce fire from his head. So he would sit there and fire would come from his head. He had two companions going by the name of Brahma and Shiva, and he claimed to be Maha Vishnu. Together they were the divine trinity, the creator and maintainer and destroyer of the universe described by the sacred scriptures. Some of the lesser kings of Orissa came under their sway and were providing funds for the construction of their temple. They also sent him all the women from the area. And Bishakishena declared he'd drive off the British from a ruling Orissa and would himself become king. He published such statements, which were circulated around Orissa. The British, however, thought him a revolutionary for speaking out against the British rule. So the district governor of Bengal drew up an arrest order. However, nobody dared put these orders into place, fearing this mystic's great powers. I mean, this guy is like, you know, breathing fire and all this kind of stuff. So everybody said, yeah, you may have the order, but we're not going anywhere near him. So Mr. Ravenshaw, a district commissioner for Orissa, requested Kedarnath Datta to bring Bishakishena to justice. Sri Kedarnath Datta went personally to see Bishakishena. The yogi showed him some powers that would normally scare off an ordinary man and informed Kedarnath Datta that he knew well who he was. But since he was the Lord Krishna, Kedarnath better not interfere with him. That was enough for Kedarnath Datta, who replied by acknowledging the yogi's accomplishments in yoga and tantra and requesting him to come to Puri, where he could receive the, oh right, So he requesting him to come to Puri, where he could receive the blessings of Jagannath, the famous deity of Krishna there. And Bhishashikshena haughtily replied, "Why should I come to see Jagannath? He is only a hunk of wood. I am the Supreme Person." Sri Kedarnath Datta became furious. He arrested the rogue, brought him to Puri, threw him in jail, where he was guarded by 36 constables and 72 policemen. Fearless, Kedarnath Datta tried Bhishakshena in Puri. The trial lasted 18 days, during which thousands of people whom he had control over gathered outside the courtroom demanding Bhishakshena's release. On day six of the trial, Kedarnath Datta's daughter, Kadambini, became seriously ill and nearly died. Sri Kedarnath Datta knew it was the power of the tantric yogi at work and remarked, "Let us all just die, but this rascal must be punished." The next day in the court, the yogi announced that he had shown his power and would show more in the future. He suggested that Kedarnath Datta should release him at once or face more and more miseries. On the last day of the trial, Kedarnath Datta himself became ill with a high fever and suffered exactly the same thing that his daughter had had. But determined, Kedarnath pronounced the man guilty and sentenced him to 18 months for political conspiracy. When Bhishakshena was being readied for jail, the district medical officer cut off all his hair. Now, that's actually not correct. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had said, "You have to cut this guy's hair off." And nobody would do it. Nobody said, "No, I'm not going to touch this guy's hair because he's so powerful." And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually got the scissors and did it himself. He cut his hair off. So apparently the yogi drew his power from his long hair, and he hadn't eaten or drunk for a long, long time during the trial, so he fell to the floor like a dead man. He had to be taken to the jail by stretcher, and after 3 months he was moved to the central jail in Midnapur, where he took poison and died. Amazing, huh? Amazing guy. So that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In 1874 to 1893, during these years, Bhaktivinoda Thakur spent much time in seclusion chanting the holy names. Though he still executed his worldly duties, persevering, he wrote several books in Sanskrit, including Sri Krishna Samhita, Tattva Sutram, and Tattva Viveka. He wrote many books in Bengali, such as the Kalyana Kalpataru, and in 1874 he composed the Datta Kustobam in Sanskrit. While in Puri, he established the Vaishnava Discussion Society, known as the Bhagavat Samat, in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, where the saint Ramananda Roy, a contemporary devotee of Lord Chaitanya, had held his worship. All the prominent Vaishnavas at the time joined this group, except for one, Raghunath Das Babaji. He thought that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was unauthorized. He did not wear the compulsory and customary religious symbols of neck beads, kunti mala, or clay markings, tilak, on his head. Isn't this interesting? Moreover, the Babaji advised other Vaishnavas to avoid Bhaktivinoda Thakur's association. Soon thereafter, Raghunath Das Babaji contracted a deadly disease. In a dream, Lord Jagannath appeared to him and told him to pray to the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur if he wants at all to be released from this illness and death. He did so. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him special medicines and cured him. At this time, Raghunath Das Babaji gained awareness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's exalted position. Sri Swarup Das Babaji, who performed his worship bhajan at Satasana near the ocean in Puri, showed much affection for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and gave him profound instructions and insights from his realizations on the chanting of the holy name. Charan Das Babaji preached and printed books advising that one should chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in personal meditation japa. But Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, but he also taught Nitai Gaur, Radhe Shyam, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. You heard that one before? This is what this Babaji taught in public kirtan. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached long and hard to him, trying to convince him to stop spreading this unauthorized mantra. He'd made this up. Eventually, Charan Das Babaji came to his senses and begged forgiveness from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, admitting his fault. 6 months later, Charan Das Babaji went mad and died in great distress. So I think that mantra is still being chanted in Bengal, isn't it? Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram. So he, no wonder he... Bhaktivinoda Thakur was one of the foremost devotional scholars of his time, yet he always humbly presented him as an insignificant messenger of the Lord, as we can note from the following passage. The way how I got the inspiration to compile these books, this is quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is a divine mystery, which I felt no proper from my part to disclose, as it might be bridged spiritual conceit. But subsequently I realized that it would be an undoing to my spiritual master, which might stand as an obstacle on the path of my spiritual progress. Therefore, without any shame, I record the fact that while under the benediction of my guru, Sri Dipan Harir Goswami, who belonged to the great lineage of Thakur Vamshi Bandhanandana, a faithful follower of my Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was deeply penetrating upon Srimad Bhagavatam. One day, in a vision, Sri Swarup Damodar, the right-hand personal adherent of Lord Chaitanya, instructed me to compile the shlokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam in accordance with the principle of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, as laid down by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that the book will read with an easy understanding, with great interest and delight by the loving devotees of the Lord. Sri Swarup Damodar Prabhu further guided me by giving a wonderful explanation of the first sloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam and also showed me how I have to explain under the light of Gaudiya philosophy. So, this was a visitation by Swarup Damodar Prabhu that inspired him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur then became the manager of the Jagannath Puri temple, the temple complex. He used his government powers to establish regularity in the worship of the deity, and in the temple courtyard he established the Bhakti Mandap, where daily discourses of the Srimad Bhagavatam were held. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would spend long hours discussing Krishna and chanting his holy name, especially at Tota Gopinath Mandir, the tomb of the great saint Haridas Thakur, and the sacred Siddha Bakul tree, and the Gambira temple. Next slide, please, Prabhu. In 1874, near the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens, in a large house adjacent to the Narayan Chattamata, the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born, answering his prayers to the Lord, where he requested the Lord, please send me a ray of Vishnu to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. His name was Bimala Prasad and would later be known as the great Vaishnava spiritual leader and scholar Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, the spiritual master of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Bimala Prasad was 6 months old, Lord Jagannath's car stopped in front of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Puri for 3 days during the procession. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked his wife, Bhagavati Devi, to bring the child to view and receive the blessings of Lord Jagannath. As she placed the child before the Lord's cart, a garland from the Lord fell and encircled the boy's body. The first grain ceremony was performed at that time with the sacred food prasadam from Lord Jagannath. Bimala Prasad stayed in Puri for 10 months. After his birth, he moved to Bengal, where his infancy was spent at Rangat, hearing the topics of Sri Krishna from his mother. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife Bhagavati Devi were orthodox and virtuous. They never allowed their children to eat anything other than prasadam, sacred food prepared and offered to the Lord first, nor associate with any bad company. One day when Bimala Prasad was still a small child of no more than 4 years, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, mildly rebuked him for eating a mango not yet fully offered to Lord Krishna. And Bimala Prasad, although only a child, considered himself an offender to the Lord and vowed never to eat mangoes again. And this vow was kept throughout his whole life. At the time Bimala Prasad was 7 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. Anybody here 7 years old? Do you know the whole Bhagavad Gita? And could even explain its verses, giving wonderful purports. And his father began training him in proofreading and printing at 7 years old. Can you imagine that? In conjunction with publishing of the Vaishnav magazine, Shajana Toshini, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took formal Diksha initiation from Vipina Bihari Goswami, descendant from the Janava family of Bhagnapada. Around this time, his seventh son, Lilita Prasad, was born in Rangata. Many people had adopted Vaishnavism, but they could not tell who was a Vaishnav and who was not. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave them the shelter and instruction on this matter most exactly. Once Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son, Bimala Prasad, went to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's guru, Vipin Bihara Goswami. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dealing with his Diksha initiating guru were always exemplary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur always played the role of a humble disciple. Once in the presence of his young Bimala Prasad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur bowed down and paid his respectful obeisances to his guru. Vipin Bihara Goswami replied by placing his foot on the Thakur's head. For the young fiery Bimala Prasad, this was too much. It was one thing that his father had accepted him as his formal initiating spiritual master, but this was going too far. Bimala Prasad was only 7 years old at the time, but when Bhaktivinoda Thakur left the room, leaving the two of them alone, Bimala Prasad decided to set things straight. This is Bimala Prasad. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said this. "You are acting like a big guru, and you place your feet on the head of those who you do not know. If you knew who the Thakur is, you would not do it. But you do not know. My father is a great exalted Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of Sri Radha and Krishna, who has come here to fulfill their mission. Do you think that you are so advanced that you can place your feet on the head of such a person? I do not think so. You have proven yourself to be a Kanishtha Adhikari, a neophyte, but not being able to distinguish between those who are advanced and those who are less advanced. Therefore, I suggest that you desist from this practice any further." 7-year-old kid. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur then re-entered the room and the conversation changed. Later that day, Vipin Bihari Goswami mentioned to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Your son is bold to the point of being rude." Later, Thakur Bhaktivinoda found out about the conversation and used to jokingly glorify his exalted son in front of his friends, saying, "He is so fearless that he even chastised my guru." In 1881, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began to publish the Sanjana Toshini, his Vaishnava journal. Next slide, please, for a minute. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had previously pilgrimaged to Kashi, Prayag, Mathura, Vrindavan, Rajamandala in 1866. At the close of his stay in Narnaulia, he desired again to see the land of Raja and took 3 months for this purpose. While there, he met Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who would move every 6 months between Navadvip and Vrindavan. Meeting him, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted him as his eternal, worshipable, shiksha-instructing guru. So this was the most prominent influence in his life. So this shiksha is again, as it's reiterated throughout the disciple course, the shiksha, taking shiksha of Srila Prabhupada, is so important. So shiksha, as he mentioned, that this was the strength of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Next slide, please, Prabhu.
That was the previous slide.
I must have mixed it up. Was mixed up?
I think this is the slide.
Okay. Next one, Prabhu. So let's.
After doing the Babaji.
Side 12. Yeah. Next one. That's it. In 1887, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur resolved to quit government service and go on to Vrindavan for the rest of his life. One night in Tarakshwara, while still in government service, he had a dream in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and spoke to him. "You will certainly go to Vrindavan, but first there is some service you must perform in Navadvipa. So, what will you do about that?" This is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When the Lord disappeared, the Thakur awoke. Hearing of his dream, he advised Bhaktivinoda Bhaktivinoda Thakur to apply for a transfer to Krishnagar near Navadvipa. He did, even turning down office of personal assistant to the chief commissioner of Assam and the seat of minister in Tripura state. He also tried to retire at this time, but his application was denied. Finally, he arranged for a mutual exchange of personnel, himself for Babu Radha Madhava Vasu, the deputy magistrate of Krishnagara. So the British didn't want to let him go. Although he wanted to retire, the British just said, "No, we can't let you go, and we're offering him ministerial positions and so on." This was the quality of the person. During his stay at Krishnagara, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to Navadvipa and search for the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One night, he was sitting on the roof of the Rani Damshala in Navadvipa, chanting on his prayer beads, when he spotted a tal tree next to the building that gave off a remarkable effulgence. He went to the Krishnagara library where he began to study the old manuscripts of the Chaitanya Bhagavat and Navadvipa Dham Parikrama and some old maps of Nadia. He went to the village of Balaladidi and spoke with the elderly people, uncovering facts about the modern-day Navadvipa. Eventually, he discovered that the place he had seen from the Dharamshala rooftop was in fact the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was confirmed by Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, the head of the Gaudiya Vaishnava community in Nadia. A great festival was held in glorification of this sacred place, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur published the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmyam. In the same year, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur renovated the house of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji at Ravakat, and took leave from office for 2 years and acquired a plot of land at Sri Godramdwip, or Swarup Ganga. And he built a retirement house there for his bhajan worship and called it Surabhi Gunj. In 1890, he established the Nam Hatta there, the marketplace of the holy name. Sometimes Jagannath Das Babaji would sit and have kirtan, chanting devotional songs glorifying Krishna. Several hundred years earlier, Lord Nityananda, the eternal brother of Lord Chaitanya, had established his Nam Hatta in this same place. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered him the street sweeper of the Nam Hatta of Lord Nityananda. So he was the principal of setting up the Nam Hatta programs that we now have. How many Nam Hattas have we got here in Melbourne? Something about 40, I think, or something. Bhakti Vriksha groups. So this was, again, this was the inspiration of... Jaipataka Maharaj, he's holding this Jaipataka Maharaj, got that inspiration from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to set up the Nam Hattas, and eventually the Bhakti Vrikshas was set. Next slide, please, Prabhu. While he was stationed at Krishnagar, every spare moment was spent in Mayapur, the holy land, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. When the birthplace was uncovered, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Jagannath Das Babaji would worship Lord Chaitanya there. Once one of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's sons contracted a skin disease, and Jagannath Das Babaji told the boy to lie down at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya for the night. He did so, and the next morning he was cured. In 1888, he took charge of the village of Netrakon in the district of Maya Manashima because he could not keep good health in Krishnagar. From Netrakon, he went to Tangailia and from there he was transferred to the district of Vardhamana. There he would have kirtan with the devotees of Krishna at a place called Amalajora. In 1890, he was put in charge of the Kalara division, subdivision, and from there he would visit all the holy places to run and then to Dina Jalpura. Again, Shalya Prasad, his young son, was born. In 1891, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took leave from the government service for 2 years to preside at the temple of Krishna. His base was at Godrampur. From there, he used to visit other places to lecture in clubs, societies, organizations, and this he had, as he had done in Krishnagar. In 1892, he travelled and preached in the Vishakhapatnam district and some other Vaishnavas. All the while, he opened many branches of Namhattas in different districts of Bengal. The Namhatta became a self-sustaining success which continued to spread even after his return to government services. From Vishakhapatnam, he set out on his third trip to Vrindavan. He stopped off at Babaji in Vraja, and he visited all the forests and places of Krishna's pastime. He continued to give lectures and readings on Harinam and in various places in Bengal when he returned to Calcutta. In 1894, he gave a lecture on his investigation into the whereabouts of the birth site of Lord Chaitanya. His audience included highly learned men from all over Bengal who became very enthusiastic at the news. Out of this gathering was formed the Navadvip Dham Parichani Sabha, an organization spreading the glories of Navadvip Mayapur. All the learned pundits, having deliberately and deliberated fully on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's evidence, agreed that the Yogapith was the true birth site of Mahaprabhu. That year, on Gaur Purnima, a big festival was held to witness the installation of the Gaura Vishnu Priya deities at the Yogapith. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally, in a spirit of pure humility, went door to door collecting funds for the building, the temple on that site. His venture was highly successful and the temple was built. You can still visit this temple there now. So he went personally, knocked on people's doors asking for donations. In October in 1894, at the age of 56, he retired from his post as deputy magistrate, though his move was opposed by his family and the government authorities. He stayed in Surabhi Kunj, preached, revised his old writings. Sometimes he went to Calcutta, where he begged door to door for building the Yogapith temple. In 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Tripura state at the request of the king, who was a Vaishnava. He stayed in the capital for 4 days and preached the glories of the holy name. His lecture on the first day amazed the local pundits. For the next 2 days, the royal family and public were thrilled to hear his talks on the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mercy reached far beyond the geographical boundaries of India or Asia. He was intent on spreading Krishna consciousness to the West, and he sent out a small book written in Sanskrit, Sri Gaura Lila Samrana Mangala Stotram, with a commentary by Srila Stitikanta Vashchapati of Nadia. It was an introduction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and precepts. In English. And again, that was that book that's found also in the library in Canberra. In the rainy season of that same year, requested by the Maharaj of Tripura, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Darjeeling and Karishan, and in 1897 he went to the villages such as Madaninpur and Suri to preach. Next slide, please. Sri Shishara Kumar Goswami was the founder of the Amrita Bazar Patrika, a leading newspaper in Bengal, and at the time, and the author of the Sri Amriya Niya Chhatri.
He had great respect for Bhaktivinoda Thakur and took up the preaching of the holy name throughout Calcutta in many villages. In Bengal, he published the Vishnu Kriya Ananda Bazar Patika under the editorialship of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In one of his letters to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote, and this is where this title comes from, he wrote, I have not seen the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, but I consider you to be the seventh Goswami. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son Bimla Prasad, later Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, had been residing at Puri as a celibate monk, brahmachari, and was engaged in worship at the Gandharavika Girihari Mat, one of the seven temples near the tomb of the saint Haridas Thakur, near the ocean. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, desiring to help his son, had the monastery cleaned and repaired when he came to Puri. After the young Siddhanta Saraswati left for Navadvip Mayapur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur constructed his own place of worship on the beach, calling it the Bhakti Kuta. Srila Krishnadas Babaji, an assistant and devoted disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, joined him there and became very, very loyal to him. He remained his constant attendant up to the end of the Thakur's life. Next slide. At the Bhakti Kuti, the Thakur began solitary bhajan, worship and devotional meditation. He had many visitors. Some simply wanted to disturb him, whereas others were sincere and benefited greatly from his spiritual inspiration. In 1908, one of his sons informed him that Sir William Duke, the chief secretary of the government, was visiting Calcutta. Formerly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had served under him as a magistrate. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made an appointment to meet with him the next day in Calcutta. Sir William Duke greeted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the street outside and personally escorted him into his office. With folded hands, he asked forgiveness for having once planned to remove Bhaktivinoda Thakur from office of district manager, because he thought that if such a qualified Indian took up such a post, the British would not last very long in India. In those days, while studying Bhaktivinoda Thakur's activities, the magistrate would come to his house and would be fed by the Thakur's wife. And now he was begging forgiveness as he was getting on in life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur answered, "I consider you to be a good friend and well-wisher all along." Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was pleased with him and gave him his blessings. Later he admitted he was astonished that Sir William Duke had wanted to harm him. In the year 1908, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the external dress of Babaji, signifying one who devotes the remainder of his life to solitary devotional practices, especially chanting the holy name. For the first 2 years, he would travel between Calcutta and Puri and was still writing books. In 1910, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur shut himself away from the world and entered Samadhi. Claiming paralysis, he devoted the remainder of his years to solitary bhajan, meditation, prayer, and chanting Lord Krishna's holy name. Next slide. In 1914, on June 23, just before noon at Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Puru Maharaj Prabhupada left his body. On the Gaudiya Pantika calendar, this day was also the disappearance day of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. His bodily remains were taken from Orissa back to his beloved Godram, in the land of Nadia, the land of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his eternal associates. Amidst Sankirtan and congregational chant of the Lord's holy name, his remains were interned in Godram.
So that is the photo of the actual funeral of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Next slide, please.
In an obituary about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sarada Charan Mishra, a Calcutta High Court judge, wrote, "I knew Thakur Bhaktivinoda intimately as a friend and as a relation. Even under the pressure of official work as a magistrate in charge of heavy subdivision, he could always find time for devotional contemplation and work. And whenever I met him, our talks would turn in a few moments to the subject of bhakti and achintya bheda and bheda tattva, and the saintly work that lay before them. Service of God is the only thing he longed for, and service under the government, however honourable, was to him a clog. So he was constantly thinking of how to serve the Lord. His son, next slide, his son Lalita Prasad recalled the following about his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur, including his daily schedule. From 7:30 to 8 o'clock he would take rest in the evening. 7:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. take rest. At 10 p.m. he would rise, light an oil lamp and run. At 4 a.m. he would take rest again. At 4:30 he would rise, wash his hands and face and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At 7 o'clock he would write letters. At 7:30 he would read. At 8:30 he would receive guests and continue to read. At 9:30 to 9:45 he would take rest. At 9:45 he would take bath with breakfast of a half a quart of milk, a couple of chapatis and some fruit, and at 9:55 go to court in a carriage. He would wear a coat and pants to court with a double-sized tulsi neck beads, Vaishnav tilak, religious markings on his forehead, and he was very strong in his decisions. He would decide immediately. He did not allow any humbug in his court. No upstart could stand before him, and he would shave his head monthly. He never allowed, this is an interesting one, he never allowed harmonium in his sankirtan, considering to be a distraction from the sound of the holy name. Ooh. Yeah. He never had any debts. At 10 o'clock he began court. At 1 p.m. the court was finished. He would come home, bathe and refresh. At 2 p.m. he would return to the office. At 5 p.m. he'd translating work from Sanskrit to Bengali, and then take an evening bath, and a meal of rice, a couple of chapatis, half a quart of milk, and that was it. He always consulted a pocket watch and was always accountable to keeping time very punctually. That's a good point to remember. Prabhupada was also very punctual. Always, everything had to be on time. It's a good habit to get into, actually. Like we had that engagement party yesterday, and it was like an hour late, you know. It's usually, with programs that we have sometimes, it's usually really late, but punctuality is actually a good quality for a devotee, you know. So next slide, please, Prabhupada. He was always charitable to the Brahmanas and equally befriended other castes. He never showed pride. His amiable disposition was a characteristic feature of his life. He never accepted gifts from anyone. He even declined all the honours and titles offered by the government to him on the grounds that they may stand up against his holy mission of life. He was very strict in moral principles and avoided the luxurious life. He would not even chew betel. He disliked theatres, and as they were frequented by public women. He spoke Bengali, Sanskrit, English, Latin, Urdu, Persian, and Oriya. He started writing books at the age of 12 and continued turning out a profuse number of volumes up until his departure from this material world. The Thakur was always courageous and active for everyone's welfare, keeping personal needs to a minimum. He led the simplest of lives, said one pundit. In the following entry from the Sarangati, Srila Bhaktivinoda, who had all pure divine qualities, takes the role of a conditioned soul to teach us how to advance in Krishna consciousness. You should always absorb your mind, attentively chanting Krishna's glories by performing the Krishna Kirtan. You will gain mastery over the mind. Give up all false pride. Always think of yourself to be the worthless, destitute, lower, and more humble than the straw in the street. Practice forgiveness like the tree. Give up all violence towards other living entities. You should maintain them. Throughout your life, you should never give anxiety to others, but do good to them. Make them happy and forget about your own problems. Thus, when you become a pious, good soul by possessing all good qualities, you should give up desires for fame and honor and just make your heart humble. Knowing that Lord Krishna lives within all living beings, you should respect and honour anyone and everyone at all times. You will attain virtue by being humble, merciful, respecting others, and renouncing the desire for fame and honour. In such a way, you should always sing the glories of the Supreme Lord, weeping, Bhaktivinoda Thakur submits his prayer to the lotus feet of the Lord. My Lord, when will you give me such qualities as these? Excellent, please, Prabhu. Srinivasacharya praised the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis deeply studied all the Shastras in order to establish the eternal religious principles for the benefit of everyone. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made unlimited preaching contributions to help humanity, and for this he is known as the seventh Goswami. Next one, Prabhu. Biographers list three major preaching achievements of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Number one, wrote 100 authorized spiritual books. Number two, discovered the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Number three, introduced preaching innovations.
That's actually a signature of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Besides books in Bengali, Orion and English, reviving and explaining Mahaprabhu's message, he wrote hundreds of poems and songs full of spiritual sentiment. His writings have made the sacred teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully available to every modern reader, and they are presented in a form which carries irresistible conviction and devotion, said a later disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sri Krishna's Samhita, Kalyakanda Kalpataru, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Sri Navadvipa Mahatmya, Jaiva Dharma, Sri Harinama Chintamani, Bhajana Rashaya, Gita Mama, Gita Vali, Sarangati, the commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita are some of his works. In the mood of innovation, in 1896, he went to university. Next slide, Prabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made three predictions concerning a person and phenomena. A person will soon appear, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His second prediction was this: very soon the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the holy name of the Lord, Harinam Sankirtan, will be spread all over the world. Oh, when will that day come when the people from America, England, Australia, France, Germany, Russia will take up the karatas and the dungas and chant Hare Krishna in their towns? The third prediction: when will they come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Sridhar Mayapur and join the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jaya Sachinandana, Jaya Sachinandana? When will that day come? Next slide, please, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada said that was spiritually significant that humanity manifested himself in 1896, the same year of Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his books overseas. The will of Lord Chaitanya, the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the mercy of Srila Saraswati Thakur empowered Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to spread Chaitanya's teachings and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all over the world. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the Thakur's three predictions. Devoid of pride, full of humility, radiant with pure love of Radha Govinda, Srila Prabhupada gave all credit to his previous acharyas. We should take it, said Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the origin of the Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, in its pure form. In 1986, just 100 years after Bhaktivinoda Thakur's third prediction, just 100 years after Bhaktivinoda Thakur's third prediction, 3,000 fair-skinned devotees from America, England, Germany, Russia, and 50 other countries gathered in Mayapur, Chandragiri Mandir, and Sridhar Mayapur, and they joined 1,000 Bengali Vaishnavas to rock the universe by chanting Jaya Sachinandana, Jaya Sachinandana, Gaurava Hari, Srila Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jaya Sachinandana. Were you there that year?
Yes,
it
was.
1986?
Yeah.
That was huge. That's amazing. I guess we were just thinking about that. So the next slide, please, Prabhu. So this is a prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which we'll finish up with. My Lord, I submit the following prayer at your lotus feet. I do not pray to you for physical leisure, for learning, wealth, or followers. I do not pray for heaven or salvation. I do not pray for any of these opulences. In whatever birth I take, wherever my karma leads me, let me sing the glories of your holy name birth after birth. This alone is my cherished hope, my aspiration, my prayer at your lotus feet. Let causeless and uninterrupted devotion awaken within my heart and flow towards you. Let me love your lotus feet as much as I now love sense gratification. Transfer my affection from the objects of the senses to your lotus feet. In danger of success, good fortune, or disaster, let me remain equipoised, and let my affection for you increase day by the influence of the holy name. Whether I live as a bird or a beast, in heaven or in hell, let the humble Bhakti Vinod always cherish Bhakti in his heart of hearts. Bhakti Vinod Thakur Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhu. Any comments or questions at all? Anything you'd like to add, Maharaj?
I know that he has huge appreciation for other traditions, and in a sense, he wants to be the inspiration behind the interfaith.
Yeah.
If you'd like to say something about it.
Well, as it was mentioned, that he studied all the different other scriptures. He was a scholar. He studied all the scriptures. He studied the Quran, the Torah, the Bible. And he was very, very appreciative of the teachings of Lord Jesus as well. And as I said about the Salvation Army, he was very appreciative of them. So yeah, he could see actually that it's all the one teaching, really. It's just that we have to encourage everyone in all walks of life to take up this love of God. That last prayer of his has been an inspiration for me also, I think, over the years. That you just forget everything, just focus on the lotus feet. I love that section where he says, let my love for your lotus feet, let me love your lotus feet as much as I love sense gratification. I think that's just a wonderful thing. And transfer my affection for objects of the senses to your lotus feet. If we can keep that in mind, it's just wonderful. He's an amazing person. So today's a half-day fast. So everybody, if you can remember these pastimes of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, if you can remember those beautiful eyes of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, I just thought I'd finish up with this wonderful picture of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He's an ocean of mercy, and he's our godfather. The godfather of the Hare Krishna movement, as Prabhupada has pointed out. He started it, he revived it, and he's the wonderful person. Any other comments?
Okay, Jai!
Jai! Jai!